Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Samachay. We will begin on Daf Samach Dalam Abayis, the last line. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Shadalei Korbana, Rav Yehuda sent a gift, Lavadrina, Tavadrina is the name of a Nachri, B'yoyim Edom, on their holiday. Omar, he said, the reason I'm sending this gift is because Yodan Abay, the Loi Polach Lavadz Gechavim. I know that he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, and therefore I may send a gift. For as the Rishonim explained, even though we began a Masechta teaching us that one is not allowed to send a gift to an Akam on his holiday, and not only on the holiday, but we learned even before and after the holiday, it's Asur. Here, because he knew that this Avodrina was not a Oved Avodah Zarah, and as we learned, the reason one is not supposed to send a gift is because we're concerned that he will go and praise his God, worship his God. Here we have no reason to have these concerns, and therefore he felt that he was allowed to send a gift. Of course, ask the Yavetz, if we're referring to such an Akum who is not Oyver Avodah Zarah, so then why is he sending him a holiday gift? It's not a holiday for him. He isn't the Oved Avodah Zarah. Explains the Yavetz that although this individual clearly was not an Oved Avodah Zarah, it was still a day of a holiday. We could perhaps relate to this in the same way that we discuss holidays like January 1st. So even a person who isn't a religious Nochri celebrates that day as a holiday because it's New Year's in the secular world. And therefore, as the Rishonim go on to explain, if there was a purpose to send him a gift, for as we learned in our previous year, we reviewed what Rav Yehuda taught us. Rav Yehuda taught us that the Torah says, Lo sechanein, lo titen lehem matnas chinam. We're not allowed to give them a gift. Here, however, he had a purpose in giving him a gift. And because he wasn't a religious Nachri, he was allowed to send it. He was allowed to give this gift. Furthermore, this Gemara is a basis for an issue that we already discussed at the beginning when we began learning our Masechta. If, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we learned that Chazal was so concerned about not giving gifts to Akum B'yoyim Edom, how come we find Tosfos and Rishonim say already in the time of Rishonim that gifts were given to Akum during their holiday time? Clearly from here we see if there are Akum who are not really Oivdei Avodah Zarah, so the entire Isser wasn't said. And to explain this a little better, once Chazal say something is Asur, we can't start making differentiations, well, they meant this, I didn't mean that. However, here, explained the Rishonim, when Chazal said that a gift may not be given to the Nachrim B'yoyim Edom, they specifically meant such Nachrim who Oivdei Avodah Zarah. But if we have a Nachri who's not an Oivdei Avodah Zarah, and furthermore, we quoted in Or Zeruah that the Or Zeruah says that most Akum B'zman Hazeh are not oduk, are not so connected to their Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the entire Isser of giving a gift to the Avodah Zarah B'yoyim Edom no longer applies. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yosef, ask Rabbi Yosef Atanya, we learned in a Braisa in our previous year. Eizu Ger Toshev, who is considered a Ger Toshev, Kol Shekibalov, Befnei Shlosha Chaverim, Shloi Lavra Avodah Kachavim. Somebody who accepted upon himself in front of three Talmidei Chachamim that he won't worship Avodah Zarah. So we see that only such an individual is considered a Ger Toshev and is not considered an Akum. Everyone else, even if he isn't worshipping Avodah Zarah, he still falls into the category of an Akum. And says the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi Lach Yosef. An Akum who isn't worshipping in Avodah Zarah is an Akum who's not worshipping in Avodah Zarah. But he isn't a Ger Toshev. There's a new category called Ger Toshev. Ger Toshev has a special rule, as we discussed in the previous year, Lachiyosai, that a Ger Toshav that lives amongst us, we have to support him. Machloikis Vachroinim, to what degree we must support him. Some say we have to support him identically to the way Jews are supported. Others say it's not all to that degree. But whatever it is, that special din only applies by Ger Toshav. But regarding our issue, the issue that we began today shiur with, of giving them a gift by Edom, that perhaps doesn't require that it should, be a Ger Toshav. Ask the Gemara. Vam Rabba Babachana Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ger Toshav she'ofer v'lof shnei masach chodesh v'leimo, a Ger Toshav the 12 months passed that he didn't do a milah. Harei k'minchav de k'chavim, he's considered like a full-fledged min. So we see that even this Ger Toshav, who ostensibly is not worshipping Avodah Zarah, all he didn't do is have the milah, he's considered like an akum. Certainly, somebody like Avedrina, who never accepted anything upon himself, should be considered like an akum, and therefore it should not be permissible for him to get a gift beyond Edom. Answers the Gemara, there it's worse. Hosam, kigon shekibalav lemov lemol. There, the Bryce is referring, Rabbi Yochanan is referring to a situation where we have an individual who accepted upon himself to be a Ger Toshav, and he accepted upon himself to do a milah. And as the Mefarshim explained, following what we discussed in our previous year, that even though a Ger Toshav is not necessarily obligated to have a milah, here we're referring to such a Ger Toshav who accepted upon himself the mitzvah milah. For as we learned in our previous year, the Ger Toshav has a right to accept upon himself any mitzvah that he wants to. So now he accepted upon himself this mitzvah, and 12 months pass and he did not make a milah. That clearly is an indication that he's regressing from his commitment, and therefore we have to be stricter. However, a regular akum who didn't take any commitment upon himself, but he is not an Oved Avodah Zarah, such an individual, if he's not an Oved Avodah Zarah, teaches us a Gemara, we could send him a gift beyond Edom. Says the Gemara, Rava Amti Leikabona Le'Bar Sheshach beyond Edom. Rava brought a gift to Bar Sheshach on the non-Jewish holiday. Omar, for he said, I know about Bar Sheshach, Yadana Beidaloi Polach Laveris Kechavim, I know that he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah. Also, Ashkechede Yosef at Savari Bevarda. Rava found Bar Sheshach in the bathhouse, sitting in the bath with rose petals up to his neck. V'kaim Zoynus Arumas Kamei. And Zoynus, not wearing any clothing, was standing there. Omle. And Bar Sheshach said to Rava, Islchu k'hai gavnel amad asi, will you have it so good in Olam Haba? Mefarshim debate, what is amad asi that he meant? Does he mean Olam Haba, that person, Olam Haba, doesn't mean Yemais HaMashiach? And furthermore, as the Gra and Reb Tzadik explain, that the discussion between Rava and him were about what is most important. Is Olam Hazeh, what is Olam Hazeh, what's more important? Or is Olam Haba, we feel that the world to come is the important world, that's our ultimate goal. And Bar Sheshach said, this our world, this world where you could have worldly pleasures, is the better world. Amalei, so Rava said, the don adifat fe'mahai. The next world, Moshe Mashiach Olam Haba, is certainly better. Amalei says Vasheshach to him, Tfe'mihai me'avahava, could it be any better than this? Amalei, to which Rav responded, Atun, you in this world, even though you're enjoying this world, Ikalaich emshad malkasa, it can't be a complete pleasure, because you always have the concern that the government, who knows what the government's going to do. Anan, but we in the next world, Loitahevelon and Musa de Malkasa. We won't have to fear any government. So, the Mefarshim explain, this is Pshat what we say in the Yom and the Roim and the Davening. We daven over Chain Tein Pachtacha, over Chain Tein Aymoscha. We ask for fear. And the Mefarshim ask that we know that fear is something that is not such a positive feeling. And here, we're specifically asking, Uvechein tein pachtecha, Uvechein tein emoscha. Explain the Mefarshim. What we're saying is that we want to have a world only of Yiras Shemayim, a world that the only fear we have is the fear of Hashem, which cancels all other fears, and that's a perfect type of fear, that's a perfect type of world. Furthermore, the Yaris Dvash, of course, is somewhat troubled with this Gemara. Because it seems if we learn the Gemara, Pasha Pshat, what the Gemara is saying is that he, Rava answered by Sheshach, that we're going to have the exact same pleasures you have, but we're going to have them in a better world. You have them in a world where there's an aim to the Malkasa, where there's concern of the government on you, and we're going to have it in a world where there is no aim to the Malkasa. Of course, a very difficult a concept to understand that that's the world that we're looking forward to. Therefore, explains the Yaris Dvash, that included in Rava's Teretz was not just that the pleasures of the world to come far surpass the pleasures of this world because it's a world that doesn't have Amos the Malkasa. But Rava was saying that what you perceive to be pleasure, the Taivas Olam Hazeh, that you perceive to be pleasures, that's not real pleasure. Real pleasure is the pleasure of Olam Haba, pleasure of Ruchnis. Amalei, so Basheshech says to Rava, Anon mi mai emsa the Malkus Ikolai, I have no problem with the government, says the Gemara, Ad Yasvi, as they're sitting and having this discussion, Asahu Pristika the Malka, an emissary from the king arrived, Omar, and he said to Beisheshech, Amalei said to Beisheshech, come, the Baile Malka, the king is calling you. Kinofak, so Rava obviously showed Beisheshech that you do have to worry about this world. You do have aims in the Malka, so. Kinofak for Ozel Amalei, as Beisheshech was leaving, he said to Rava, the eye that wishes to see bad for you, let it fall out of its socket. Amalei Rava. So Rava said, Amen. Pak ene de Basheshech, and the eye of Basheshech fell out. Again, a very difficult line to understand in the Gemara. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat was that Basheshech said to Rava, I really meant the best for you. I meant that you too, you Klal Yisrael, should also have in this world a world of taiva. To which Rava said, that isn't a bracha, that is a klala, and therefore the klala should turn back on you, and his eye fell out. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that the Banya Yoda suggests is that Bar Sheshach lived in Bavel. In fact, he says that the word Sheshach, and if we follow At Bash, is Bavel. And Bavel, he says, was a place of Ayin Hara. He says the people of Bavel had a very big power of Ayin Hara. And he said that's what happened here. Basheshach wanted to put an Ayin Hara on Klal Yisrael. But actually what was happening here was that an Ayin Hara turns right back on the person who attempts to put the Ayin Hara. And that's why here Basheshach got the Ayin Hara put back right on him. Says the Gemara, Amar Rapapi, Iboile Lememra Lemahaikra. If Rava wanted to answer Basheshach, he could have mentioned this pasuk. The pasuk says, B'nois Malacha B'karsecha, Nitzva Shegeli Mencha B'kasa Oifer. Pasuk says that in the next world, the pleasure that Klal Yisrael will have will be so great they will be yokar. Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Ibai Lamem Lamahacha, he should have mentioned this pasuk. Ayin Loi Rasa Lakim Zlasecha, no eye could fathom what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do L'mechakaloi for those that await Hashem. And here too, the Mefarshim explain that why didn't Rava indeed quote these psukim, if these psukim are bring out the point so much stronger. Say the Mefarshim that we go back to the beginning of this piece of Gemara. At the beginning of this piece of Gemara, we learned that Basheshach was sitting in the bathhouse up to his neck in roses. And therefore, since this event took place in the bathhouse, that's why Rava could not speak to Bar Sheshach. That's why Rava could not speak to Bar Sheshach, because Bar Sheshach was at that point not in a bathhouse. And we know the halach is that one is not allowed to discuss Divrei Torah in a bathhouse. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, Sachroi lasis imoi melacha acheres. The Mishnah said as follows, that if a Jew was hired to work with an Akum, if a Jew was hired to work with an Akum in with Yayin Nesach, his wages are also, we learned in the Mishnah. However, we learned in the Mishnah that let's say the Jew was hired to do a different job, and he, in the course of doing that work, he carried some Yayin Nesach on behalf of the Akum, then the wages are mutter. Says the Gemara, it seems, Va'afagav, Doi Amalele Taisi Erif, even when the non-Jewish employer requested the Jew to transport the Yayin Nesach, it wasn't at night, it wasn't after work hours, it was during work hours. Still, since that wasn't what they had agreed that the Yisrael would do, therefore, it's mutter. Ask the Gemara of Rimini, we learned in a Braisa, Hasoichas Apoyel, if somebody hires a worker, Olotaisa Erev Amaloi, and after work hours, the non-Jewish employer tells the Jew, Have a chavis Shayayin Nesach Mamakal Makoim, transport some wine, Yayin Nesach, then Schar Mutter. Since it's after work hours, that's when the wages are mutter. But what do we see from this braisa? It's only Tamad Amalei L'Taisa Erev In. It's only because he's working after work hours. So since that wasn't included in the pay, he's not getting paid for that. Therefore, doesn't affect the permissibility of him collecting his wages that had nothing to do with what he did during the day. However, it's seen from here, Kula Yoima, if he would have transported this wine during the day, even though that wasn't what was agreed upon that the Jew would do, it wouldn't change the fact that the wine becomes usur. Kula Yoima, the entire day, he's not allowed loy. He's not allowed to transport the wine. And if he transports the wine, even though that wasn't what was agreed upon, that wine will be, that those wages will be usur. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, says Abaya indeed. We have to explain that the Mishnah is also referring to a case, Damalei L'Taisa Erev, where he was asked after work hours to transport the wine, and that isn't included in the job, and that's why those wages remain mutter. But indeed, if he would have carried it during the day, the halacha, even though it wasn't part of what they agreed upon would be his job, the wine would be, the wages would be usur. Rava, however, says, and the Rashba seems to indicate that it's not necessarily that Rava is disagreeing with Abaya, the Rava and Abaya are disagreeing, just what's bothering Rava is that the Mishnah doesn't seem to make this distinction when the Jew carried this Yayin Nesach, that it was after work hours. And therefore, Rava seeks to find a teretz that doesn't require that we explain that our Mishnah is referring to specifically the Toisei Erev. Rav Amar, Loi Kasha. Had Amalei Havli Mei Chavis B'Mei Prutas. Had Amalei Havli Chavis Chavis B'Pruta. As the Rishonim explain, There are two ways of saying the same thing, but they're very, very different in halacha. One is where the Akum tells the Jew, transport for me 100 barrels of wine, and I'll pay you $100 for the job. Until he finishes transporting all 100 barrels, the halacha is that he doesn't get any wage. So all of these barrels of wine are connected to each other. And since all of these barrels of wine are connected to each other, if amongst the barrels that he's carrying is a barrel of Yayin Nesach, that will create a situation that the entire wage becomes usur. However, where he said, transport one barrel at a time, and for each barrel you will receive separate a dollar per barrel, so each barrel is a separate payment. And since each barrel is a separate payment, he gets, so if he carried 100 barrels, and amongst those barrels there was indeed a barrel of Yayin Nesach, so for each barrel of Yayin Nesach, he'll deduct a dollar, and that dollar, Yoylech Hanol Yam HaMelech, he'll taka dispose of that dollar, he won't be allowed to have Hanol from that dollar, but that won't have anything to do with the other money, because each barrel we look at separately. A barrel that wasn't Yayin Nesach, he could collect the wage for. A barrel that is Yayin Nesach, that wage must be disposed. Of course, the Tosfos Rid explains that now it has nothing to do with during work hours or after work hours. Rather, the way we have to understand the Gemara, says the Tosfos Rid, is that up to when he carries the 100 barrels, it makes a difference how the payment schedule was stipulated. After he finishes the barrels, so that's already considered a Taisi Erev, and everything is Mutter. Furthermore, says Taisus, that there's even a deeper Chiddush in what Rava says. Says Taisus, let's say the person was given a job this way, and then at night he was told to carry some more barrels of wine. Says Taisus, that has no connection to what happened by day. And therefore, says Tosfos, for example, let's say he was given the job to carry 100 barrels for $100, which as we just finished explaining, if he carried Yayin Nesach, that would create a situation that the entire payment became usur. Says Tosfos, let's say he was continued to carrying wine at night, and we assume that it's based on the same salary. Still, since it's not part of the original stipulation, the halacha is that wouldn't have any effect on the salary of the day. And the Gemara says, Vatanya, even though normally Vatanya is a kasha, here Vatanya is a raya. Vatanya has soicher as a poil. If somebody hires a worker, v'omaloi, havli mei chavis v'mei putis, carry for me 100 barrels for $100, v'nimtza chavis shayayin nesbenayim, and there's a barrel of Yayin Nesach amongst these barrels, that Schari Osir, his entire wage is Osir. However, if it was said to him, Chavis Chavis Pruta, each Chavis for a dollar, V'nimtza Chavis Shal Yayin Nesach, and that is one Chavis of Yayin Nesach, we look at each Chavis separately, the dollar for the Yayin Nesach barrel must be disposed, but it has no effect on the rest of the money he receives. The Mishnah continued teaching us that a Soiches Chamor, if somebody rented a donkey to carry Yayin Nesach, the halacha is Schari Asa. Ask the Gemara, of course, Schari Asa. It's the same as the first case. Hasu Lamali, Hayna Reisha. Why does the Mishnah have to teach us this case? Answers the Gemara, the Chiddush here is the Sefer. The Sefer is the Chalei. The Chiddush is regarding the Sefer. The Sefer said, Sachra Leishvela, if somebody hired a donkey to ride on it, says the Mishnah, even if the Akum put his flask of Stam of Yayin Nesach on the donkey, still Schari Mutter, he's allowed to collect the wage. Why? Because the Mishnah seems to be saying, since they didn't speak about this flask, so the Akum had no right to put on the flask, and therefore he has no, the fact that he did put it on doesn't prohibit the wage. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Lememra, the lagin lav dinahu de loisevi, that he has no right to put on his flask. Vermini, it says in a braisa, hasoiches chamor, if somebody hires a donkey. Soicher, the renter, menich alek susa, is allowed to put on his clothing. The Rishonim debate if there's a machlokes, if that's the proper girsa, because the Rishonim said, of course he's allowed to put on his clothing. So therefore they say it means kastoi, his pillow, that even though the donkey driver could perhaps argue, wherever you're going, you'll be able to get linen there. The person who rents the donkey could say, no, I want my pillow, and I can be able to take along my pillow. Others maintain the gears of kisusa, his clothing. And what the chiddush is not only is he allowed to take the clothing that he needs to get, he needs to wear till he gets to his destination, but even the clothing that he needs at his destination and for the return trip, liginosai, his flask of wine, umazainosav shalos oisaderach, the amount of food that he'll need for the trip. Mikav elach, if he wants to take anything more, chamam makavalov, the donkey driver could say, I don't want you to take anymore. And as the Rishonim point out, even if the passenger will argue, well, if I'm going to have to buy more food at our destination, the food at the destination is more expensive than the food is at home, still the donkey driver could prevent him. Chamor, the donkey driver, menichal es oirim v'tevin, barley and grain for the donkey to eat, mezonos v'shalos hayoyim, as much as he needs to eat for that one day. If he wants to take any more, the person who rented the donkey could say, by carrying too much of a load on the donkey, you're going to slow down the donkey. So we see from here that he is entitled to put on the flask. So are we saying that when he hired the donkey, the flask is not part of the deal? Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Naya de Lagin Danin Lusuvi. Indeed, he is entitled to put on his flask. However, Wal Bin Alocha Mi Uloy Maisavla, if he didn't put on a flask, Mi Aminale Nechei Lagra de Lagina, does the person who rented the donkey have a right to deduct from what he has to pay? Of course not. And therefore, it's not considered that he's paying for the Lagin. The best example we could give is like if somebody takes a trip on an airline, where he's in the case where he's allowed to take along luggage. That doesn't mean that if he doesn't take luggage, he gets a discount. Of course, he's allowed to take luggage, but that doesn't mean he gets a discount for not taking it. Ask the Gemara, given that we just spoke about these halachas, what could the driver take? What could the person who rented the donkey take? So Gemara goes into this for a moment. Hechidami, either shchiach lemizben, if they're traveling to a place where provisions are readily available, chama namilakav. So the donkey driver should be able to tell to the passenger, you could easily buy provisions there, you shouldn't be allowed to take along. Vidalai shchiach lemizben, if they're traveling to a destination where provisions are not readily available, soich namilakav. So the renter should not be able to tell the donkey driver that he's not allowed to take provisions. Where they're going, provisions aren't available. Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, like Tzricha, the Shchich Lemidrach Lemizba Ma'avna L'Avna. Provisions are available for one day. That means when they arrive at where they're going to lodge at night, that's where he could find, if he looks for food, he could find it. Chamar, the donkey driver, Darka Lemidrach Lemizban. Donkey drivers live on the road. And since they live on the road, they are expected to find food on the road. Soicher, however, the person who rents the donkey, lav darkei lemitrach lemizben, he doesn't live on the road. Since he doesn't live on the road, he's not expected to have to be matriach himself to go find food. Of course, the Paiskim say that all of this discussion about what is the donkey driver allowed to take and what is the renter allowed to take is only when there is no specific minig hamokim. That's when we rely on what this price is teaching us. But in a case where there is a minig hamokim, the halacha is that we follow the minig hamokim. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that even in a place where provisions are available, you don't have to wait a whole day, you could wait half a day and you'll already find provisions. We still don't have to expect the donkey driver to take provisions only for half a day. It's understandable that he could take provisions for one day at a time. Says the Gemara, Avua the Rav Acha b'Rei de Ravika, the father of Acha, the son of Ravika. In other words, it's Ravika. And the Farshim, in fact, point out, if we're speaking about Ravika, why doesn't the Gemara just say Ravika? So Farshim explained that apparently Rav Acha's son, was more prominent than his father Ravika. And therefore, in order for the Gemara to be able to identify who was Rav Acha, he is identified through his very prominent son, Rav Acha. Have a shofach lecham levit kachavim. His job was that he would pour wine for the Akum. And then, v'ozum marbulu mabra, he would then transport these wineskins in which he poured the wine from the barrel into the wineskins across the river. V'yavle gulfi be'agra. And then they would give him back the barrels in which the wine was originally in as his salary. So Mefarshim asked, how was he allowed to pour wine into the flasks of the Akum? Ostensibly, there was wine at the bottom of the flask. So he's making his wine into Yayin Nesach by it touching the wine on the bottom of the flask. Specifically, as Tosfos points out, we learned earlier when we spoke about the sugyas of Yayin Nesach, the concept of Nitzik Chibur, that the wine on the bottom gets connected to the wine on the top. So the two answers given to Rishonim. One is a fairly simple answer, that we're referring here to wine flasks that are completely clean, and therefore there is no concern of the intermingling of his kosher wine with their non-kosher wine. It's certainly not a concern of Nitzik Chibur. Other Rishonim, however, explain that his job ended as soon as the wine that he was pouring from his barrel into the flasks entered the ear of the flask, and it didn't hit the bottom of the flask. And therefore, since his job was already completed at that point, it was way before the wine touched the wine at the bottom of the flask. And since it was before it touched the wine at the bottom of the flask, there is no reason for concern. However, Asa Amalei Labaya, they came to Abaya, and he said to him, isn't this a situation that he's working with Yayin Nesach? To which they responded, Ki katarach, b'teir katarach. He's working with kosher wine. That, as I said, there was no connection to non-kosher wine, and there's nothing Asa. Asked the Gemara for rights of Kiyumai, but fine. As we just explained, when he is pouring the wine from his barrel into their flasks, we've successfully explained why there is no Isser. But there's still a problem, asked the Gemara. The problem being that once the wine is in the flasks of the Akum, and the Akum have this non-kosher wine. Now the wine is certainly non-kosher, but he wants those flasks to remain in existence. The Leinitzri Zeki, he certainly doesn't want those flasks to split, because if those flasks will split, where will they pour the wine? They'll pour the wine back into the barrel. And if they'll pour the wine back into the barrel, he won't be able to get the barrel back. And that's what he wants, to get back his barrel. So isn't this a situation of rights of Kiyumai? Answers the Gemara, the Masna Badayu. He made a deal with them that even if their flasks were to split, his wine barrels can't be used to save the wine, and therefore it's not a concern to him. Inami, or we could say, the Maska Pristayu Badayu. They would bring along empty vessels that in case the wine split, even if the wine split, the flask split, they would have other place to pour it into, and not into the barrel. So therefore, he doesn't care if it splits or doesn't split, his barrels are fine. And Tosfos points out, we don't have to be so concerned that not only will the wine flasks in which the wine is will split, but perhaps even the backup will split. For that far, we don't have to be concerned. But ask the Gemara, there's still a problem. He's transporting these flasks across the river. How is he allowed to transport flasks that are full of Yayin Nesach? V'kama abra luma abra. V'kama tarach b'yisura. You're not allowed to work, as we've been learning from the beginning of this parak, with Yayin Nesach. Answers the Gemara, d'amar leila mebrayim ikara. And there's a machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. The way most Rishonim learn the Gemara, that even though we're not allowed to work with Yayin Nesach, in a situation where he isn't doing the actual work, he asks the people, the sailors, to do it. And moreover, he asks them to do it without charging him. They're doing it as a favor, out of respect for him being a great person. And furthermore, since he said it to them so many days in advance, given all of these circumstances, therefore, he said it even before the sale took place, it's not considered as if he's working with Yayin Nesach. And Inami, and as Machlokes has explained the Inami, some explain that it's not really another teretz, but the way to understand it is Nikita B'Ketira. He didn't even specifically point out the wine flasks that he's asking should be transported. Rather, we're referring here to a situation where he just gave a simon. He said that the wine flasks that I'm asking you to transport have a knot on top of them. And that will be enough of a simon, enough of a point to you to know that this is the wine that I mean that you should transport. So given all of these circumstances, it's not considered as if he's doing business with Yayin Nesach, and therefore it's mutar. Says the Mishnah, Yayin Nesach shenofal gabay anovim. If Yayin Nesach fell on top of grapes, so the halacha is, yedichem, he should rinse them, they mutaris. Just rinse off the Yayin Nesach, and they remain mutar. The Pais can point out, however, when rinsing them off, one should be careful not to rinse them off with warm water, only with cold water. Also, one should not rinse them off with meperis or with wine. One should be careful to rinse them off specifically with cold water. Vimhoyim of a kos. However, if these grapes were cracked, so the wine could seep into the grapes, or as the Rishonim point out, in any situation where grapes were taken off the cluster, so there's a hole at the top of the grape where the grape was attached to the cluster, those are always considered muvakas, and then it's a suris, those grapes are asur. Nafal agaba ta'enim agaba tamarim. If the wine fell on top of figs or dates, im yesh b'menayis and tam, if there's enough wine that'll give tam into them, asur, one may not eat those grapes. Umaisa, says the Mishnah, Umaisa v'baisas benzun and shevi grugus v'sfina. There was a situation where there were baisas benzun and brought grugus on a boat. V'nishtab r'chavish lo yayin nesach v'nafal agabem. And on the boat, a barrel of yayin nesach broke and it fell on top of these dried figs. V'sholach chacham v'tirim. And they asked the chacham, and the chacham said they may eat these grugus. Zaklal, kolshba nosar b'nois and tam. Wherever it's nois and tam, wherever it gives a good flavor, it's osur. Kolsha ain b'nois and tam. Where it doesn't give a good flavor, it's mutter. Kigoin, why is it an example of something that gives a tam pogon? Tchoy mitchnofal gabagrisim, vinegar that falls onto beans. The Rishonim say that even though we're learning that if wine, if Yayin Nesach falls onto grapes, those grapes are osur, they're only osur b'achila, but most Rishonim are of the opinion that they are mutter b'hanor, and somebody could sell those grapes without the Dmei Yayin Nesach. There are Rishonim that want to differentiate between when wine falls on grapes versus when wine falls on chitim, and that when it falls on grapes, the grapes are mutter, are also even b'achila,
and Bahano, when they fall on Chitim, they're only Asar Bachila, but they're not Asar Bahano. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, my solicitor. First, the Mishnah said that they give a tam, and therefore it's Asar. And then the Mishnah says a story of Baisa ben Zunim, where he said that the Groigers were mutter to be eaten. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Chsur mechsur achatani. Im nois tam of gamhu, mutter. If the yayin nestle gives a bad taste, then it's mutter. And indeed, says the Mishnah, such a story. Umais nami, bebaises ben zunim, shoy mevi groigris besfina, where he's transporting groigris. Mnishtaber chavis shal yayin, nesach v'nofel gabayim, and yayin nesach fell upon them. And since it gives a bad taste, ubo mais lefnechachamim, v'itirum. Says the Gemara, he carried the chiti. There was a pile of wheat, the nafala chavita the yayin nesach, and yayin nesach fell on them. Shai revel mizbele of the chavim, and Rava said that one could sell them to nakam. The reason being, many reasons giving, the one reason is that since it's min b'she'en aminoi, wheat and yayin nesach min shei b'minoi, and since it's min shei b'minoi, you have to have, as long as you have shishim, it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Although the Mefarshim do ask before we go further, why don't we say that we have here a problem of chaticha nasas nevela, that since the great wine fell on the chitim, that should make them all considered like wine. So answer the Paiskim, Rav Kivega says this, that we only say chaticha nas nevela by something which is an isar han, with something regarding that has an isar han achila, something that does have an isar hano. We don't say chaticha nas nevela. Eisei Rava Bar Yivoy LeRava. So Rava Yivoy asked Rava, there's a din. Beged Shav B'Klayim, if you have a garment that Klayim fell into it. That means you have a wool beged and a piece of linen fell in, or vice versa. The halacha is, Harez Lo Yimkren Alav K'chavim. One may not sell it to an Akum, because we're concerned that the Akum may then go on and sell it to Jew. Nor may he sell it, make it into a saddle for his donkey. Two reasons the Rishonim give. One reason they give is because we're concerned that if one of his garments will tear, he'll take a patch from the donkey's saddle. Another pshat is because we're concerned that he may end up putting the saddle on top of himself, and he'll be wearing klayim. He can use it for tachrichim, for meis mitzvah. Dilma, live kachar my tamaloi. Why may not sell it to an akum? Dilma also is born in Yisrael, because we're concerned that he's going to sell it to a Jew. So here too, why in the case where the wine fell on the chitim, are we not be concerned that also is born in Yisrael, that he's going to sell the chitim to the Yisrael? Answers the Gemara. Hadashar lemetchinu lemefenu. Rava, when he allowed the wine that fell on the kernels, he only allowed them to be ground and then baked. And then sell them to the Jew. Tell them to the guy, not in front of a Jew. And a Jew is never going to buy bread from Akum, because bread of an Akum is paspalta. The Rishonim ask, why in the case where one thread fell into a beged, don't we say that it's bittul b'roiv? So Rishonim answer that we don't say bittul b'roiv in the case of klayim, which the entire case of klayim is that we begin with one thread that's mutter and two threads that are mutter, and we don't say bittul b'roiv when we start with two items that are mutter. We only say bittul b'roiv when we have heter and isser. I asked the Mefarshim, don't we say Bittul Baroi by Basa B'Cholov? And Basa B'Cholov, we have two permitted items. So And Rishayim answer that by bas b'chalav there's a special gzeiros akosuv that we say bittel b'roiv, even though we're starting with two items that are mutter. In other areas of halacha, we indeed, when we start with two permitted substances, we don't say bittel b'roiv. Another explanation that the Noda Yehuda gives is that one thread is still considered something very significant, and a thread that's significant doesn't become bittel b'roiv. Here we learned that we're allowed to use this item that has klayim in it for a meis mitzvah. Why? Because the halach is b'meisim chavshi. Kivin shem meis adam nasi chavshi min mitzvahs, and therefore there's no concern that he's wearing klayim. Ask the mefarshim, we know that's not necessarily true, because we know that we're even careful to put tzitzis on a mace, because he's going to get a fatchias amesim and he should be wearing tzitzis. So how can we make tachrichim that have klayim and he's going to get up wearing klayim? So one teretz that's given is that tzitzis is a very special mitzvah, shkula keneged kol mitzvahs, and therefore tzitzis is different than everything else. Another teretz that I saw is that when the Gemara says that we can make tachrichim for the meis mitzvah, it's not that he's buried in those tachrichim. Of course, he shouldn't be buried in those tachrichim. It's only that when he, during the hesped, he's allowed to wear those tachrichim, but he can't be buried in them because he's going to get up, and we don't want him to get up wearing klayim. Another pshat is just the opposite. We only put on tzitzis on a meis mitzvah, on a meis, for during the hesped, because we don't want that he should not be wearing tzitzis and everybody else is wearing tzitzis. But of course, after he gets up, he does, what do you call, after the actual hesped, before the burial, and that's the minig in many places, the tzitzis are removed. The Meshech Chachma differentiates between mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. And therefore, we're more concerned about mitzvah tzitzis, which is a mitzvah sasei, versus mitzvah klayim, which is a mitzvah lois sasei. Ask the Gemara Tanan, yayin nesach shenofel gabal novim, we learned in our Mishnah, that if yayin nesach fell on grapes, yidichim imitars, rinse them and they're fine. Vayim akos, asuris. So we see him akos in, only if they're cracked do we have an issue. Sherim akos loy. So why, when Yain Nesach fell on the wheat, is the wheat prohibited from eating? Why don't we just rinse them? Amra Papa Shani Chiti, all wheat. However, Agav Tzrayi Kum V'Kos Dami. Since they have a crack in them, they're always considered like cracked grapes, and that's why they can't just be rinsed off, and they may not be eaten because they have the Yain Nesach on them.